Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time to play out loud. It's the Tony Wayne Show.
Edition of the Tony Lane Show. Harris, as we welcome you to episode 340 of the Tony Lane Show. Of course, reminding you to log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/TonyLaneShow. That's the destination to hear the show live Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. You can give us a call. Course 646-478-0360, and of course subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play. Then, like magic, totally free of charge, the new episodes as they are published will be downloaded automatically to the device of your choice. It's a wonderful thing, and you don't even need a wand, and it works just like magic. It's amazing.
You also don't have to wait that long for the new episodes to come up.
This is true. This is true. They come up pretty fast, to be honest with you, shortly after we publish them. So this is a payback week. Payback is going on as we speak. And we are going to get more into that in just a few. But you know what? I was 2 digits away from the world not seeing me again. You know that?
Really?
I almost hit like a big jackpot on the lottery. I was literally 2
Really?
Numbers. Yes.
Damn, that sucks, man.
It's really bad when it's that close. Now, instead, I walked away with $14. What?
Did that leave you up? Was that more money than what you'd spent on the ticket?
Oh, well, I spent $4 worth of tickets, $114.
All right, so you're up $10. So you know what? That's not so bad after all.
2 more numbers, and I would have won $1.4 million. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, at least it was $14. $10 more than you had before. That's the way I look at it.
This is true. But I look at it as 2 more numbers, $1.4 million. I got a half of 1% of the $14 million, or $1.4 million with $14?
I believe so, yeah.
I mean, not a good return. I think it hurts worse when you're, like, close like that. Imagine if I would have gotten 1 more number.
Imagine it was like, say, like, just one number you had was 23 and the number you needed is like 22 or 24, like something ridiculous like that. That's a douchebag move.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's terrible. And you know what? It was a quick pick, too. So I always think that the quick picks are a lot easier to lose from. But that's the one I actually won. The numbers I picked, I got nothing. I didn't even get 1 fucking number right, but the computer did me good. So, even I'm not much of a lottery guy.
I don't ever play the lottery. Like, it has to be super, super high or, like, buying in with a group of people type thing. You know how that goes.
Yeah, I would. I mean, sometimes, and this was just the pick five, and the pick five's not typically high in New Jersey. Like, it's usually only a couple of hundred thousand, but it rolls over, and nobody won. So it went up to, you know, well over $1 million. So I was like, you know, I might as well play, you know. And just got a couple of tickets. I just never, the most I had ever gotten on anything usually is like $2. So 14 is like a lottery high for me. But I don't
most,
play that often.
Most I've ever won was on, you know, the Christmas packets of scratch-offs that they do where you might, for like $5, get like 7 scratch-offs.
Right.
And the little sealed things. I won $45 one year on one of those packets. And that's the last time I've really won anything. And that was my biggest winning.
Yeah. See, I'm not a big lottery player. I know some people, they like, it's almost like a hobby of theirs. I mean, I couldn't do that because it's like impossible to win in most cases. You know what I mean? It's totally a luck of the draw sort of thing.
I know people that play it all the time, and like, yeah, they talk about, oh, I just hit for 150 or 100 or 200, but like, you had to spend just that same amount to actually, you know, get to the
to win anything.
Yeah,
right.
And it's like you'll see them with a stack of scratch offs,
right.
And like one win. It's like they ain't the cheap scratch offs too. They're
winning improve, I believe. But still, it's a tough thing. I mean, to actually win something substantial.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You still have a chance to win like $2 on one of those.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's not necessarily a bad habit, but it's not a good habit.
I agree. No gambling is really a good habit, really. But you know, who knows? I mean, every now and then, it doesn't hurt. And I tell you, if I would have got those other two numbers, it would have been some shit.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be like, oh, where'd Tony go? He just
he disappeared. Why is he in the camp for 6 months? And then traveling to the Cayman Islands all over the world.
You know, I did know this dude. He won like the what was it, like $1,000 a week for life thing. It was a scratch off. I do know somebody that won it. So now that we're through with my bad luck, or I guess not as good as I would have liked, luck would be better. We are on to the Payback pay-per-view this week. WWE's exclusive pay-per-view, even though we did have some crossover matches because of the recent start, including WWE champion Randy Orton, who faced Bray Wyatt, the former champion, in this House of Horrors match, which... what the fuck was that? I mean, I know you haven't watched it yet, but what the fuck was that? Like, it's really, I mean, and it's continuing now. They just had the Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe match, and now they're continuing the Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, House of Horrors match, which began in a house.
I'll tell you what, they always pull something crazy out.
Now it's coming to the arena, but it started in the house. And I mean, I know like Matt Hardy got
Here's the thing. Is the house being moved to the arena?
No, he got
Then I'm not interested. That's not WWE enough for me. I need that house to be picked up and moved to the while they're still in there wrestling.
No,
that's
he
like
pushed a refrigerator on top of Randy Orton.
Eesh.
And then he walked out and got in a limo and took a limo to the arena. So now Bray Wyatt is walking into the arena, you know, and the fireflies are all lit.
Out.
You know, his usual reaction. But I'm not sure they can possibly think this was any good watching this.
I mean, I'm not sure, like, a split match like that is not really a good idea. And, like, people aren't, like, if people were paying attention to have a split like that, it's like, when you start it back up, it's kind of just like, eh.
And he dumped the damn refrigerator on top of the man. I mean, we've seen Roman Reigns get flipped over in an ambulance, and somehow he's coming back in 3 weeks. And, you know, him and Braun Strowman haven't wrestled yet, but that's the main event. But now this guy, Randy Orton, gets a refrigerator dumped on top of him. And I would imagine he's going to somehow come back into the arena and finish this match off. Which,
miraculously, he is.
I mean, I don't know how these guys heal from this crazy. I mean,
they're infused with Wolverine's blood.
They must be.
They are. That's like the prerequisite to get into the WWE. You have to let them inject you with Wolverine's blood.
Last time I checked, refrigerators are pretty damn heavy.
Yeah, they really are.
And laying on the ground and having somebody push a damn refrigerator on top of you does not seem like a good idea.
No.
And there, Randy Orton's fine, and he's behind him. Now, as the lights come up, Randy Orton's there. So how the fuck, I mean, this has just been a bizarre match. Now, we know this is a rematch from WrestleMania, where Bray Wyatt lost the championship to Randy Orton. This was originally advertised as a championship rematch because Bray Wyatt, being the former champion, is owed that mandatory rematch. But they have since pulled the championship from it. So this is a non-title match. Randy Orton is not even in possession of the championship belt, if you saw last week's SmackDown, because Jinder Mahal and the Bollywood Boys stole the belt. So,
oh, Jesus.
He is the official champion, but he does not have the physical belt. And this is not a championship match anyway. But they did put all of the belts on the line really early. Like, started the pay-per-view off one title match after another.
Yeah, see, I don't like when they do that. It's like, what are you leaving for me to watch? What am I here for?
Well, Roman Reigns, of course.
Well, I mean, yeah. But like I said, he's only nice to look at.
You know, I saw a video on YouTube where they showed some shenanigans that WWE pulled. And we know they have pulled some shenanigans over the years.
Oh, yes.
But this was low even for them, I thought. Where it was in the match where Chris Jericho originally beat Roman Reigns to win the United States Championship on Raw a few months ago, if you recall that.
Yeah.
So when he beat him, if you looked at the live broadcast of Raw that night when it played on USA, you would have seen there was a gentleman in the audience who reacted to Jericho winning the title very happily. He was happy.
Yes, I remember that.
And
because I remember pointing him out and being like, that dude's happy.
And he, you know, he's like jumping up and down that Roman Reigns got beat. So if you watched it the following week when they showed the highlights of what happened the previous week, like they do, they conveniently edited to an earlier moment where the same gentleman who was visibly happy when you watched the live broadcast, they showed something earlier where he was upset because Roman Reigns was winning, and they showed that, like that was his reaction to the pinfall, to make it look like he was upset that Roman Reigns lost. And I was like, that's low even for WWE.
Yeah.
To try and create the illusion that Roman Reigns is that beloved. And he's like the biggest heel in the company. Who's supposed to be a face?
So has that guy contacted them or anything like that? Because that's a little shady.
Well, I don't think you could do anything because they, you know, once you step in that arena, they have the right to film you and all that.
They
do that little disclaimer before Monday Night Raw starts where they play the little recording that says, you know, that they're allowed to use the footage without compensation and blah, 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 and they can do whatever they want with it, basically.
Yeah.
So you really have no case. But I just thought that was some crazy trickery.
That is. That's so low.
And now, as expected, Bollywood Boys interfered, and now Jinder Mahal interfered and hit him with his own championship belt. And Wyatt now gets the pinfall after hitting them with Sister Abigail. So no surprise there. I expected the Jinder Mahal contingent there. I guess that's his faction now with the Bollywood Boys.
I guess so.
And, you know, they're trying to make this Indian faction, even though Jinder Mahal is actually Canadian. But he is of Indian descent. But
yes, he is. But you're right. He's Canadian.
Right. But the... so that no surprise there. Bollywood Boys jumped him, and then Jinder Mahal comes in, hits him in the head with the belt, Sister Abigail. So Bray gets his win, but I guess he's never going to get his fucking championship rematch because now officially Randy Orton is on SmackDown. He's on Raw. So I guess just bye-bye to his championship rematch. And Brock Lesnar's never going to defend a Universal title.
Oh, no, he's not.
I mean, so you forget about that. Or actually, we have heard the first Universal Championship defense of Brock Lesnar will take place in July at a brand new WWE pay-per-view event.
Oh, Jesus.
Great Balls of Fire.
Who came up with that?
Goodness gracious.
Who set Great Balls of Fire? But, like, really? Really?
Yep.
And come on now.
That's the real name of a pay-per-view.
How old are we?
It's goodness gracious.
Great Balls of Fire.
Who would have thought that would be a pay-per-view coming up? But it is. Raw brand pay-per-view in July. But it will feature the first Universal Championship match of Brock Lesnar. But that means there's another Raw exclusive pay-per-view coming up, Extreme Rules, that you're not going to have a title match again. Or at least not a Universal Championship match. So it's like, yet anybody else, if you can't defend a belt in 30 days, they strip you. But Brock Lesnar, it's fine. He can defend
a belt. You know, he can go a year without defending his belt. But anybody else, 30 days and they're stripped.
Exactly.
Like, who do you think you are taking more than 30 days?
I mean, in poor Naomi, she wasn't even champion for a month, but because they projected that she probably won't be able to defend the belt in 30 days, they stripped her the first time. And I'm like, she's only been champion for 2 weeks. At least let her fucking hold the belt for a month. But, I mean, I understand why they did it in that case, because it was getting close to WrestleMania and they needed a backup plan in the event that she wasn't going to be cleared in time for WrestleMania. So that's kind of why they sped it up. But it was just from a kayfabe standpoint, if you're looking at it like this is a real sport, you'd be like, well, goddamn, they ain't even give her a chance.
Yeah, really.
2 weeks later, they stripped her, talking about, well, because you won't make the 30-day deadline. And you're looking like, what?
At yeah.
Least wait till day number 31 and take the fucking belt. Don't take it, you know, 2 weeks later. But that's the crazy world of the WWE.
It is.
So Bray Wyatt wins that House of Horrible match, which was just horrible.
Well, let's hope we don't see another one.
And I guess now Jinder Mahal is a bona fide main eventer now. He's interfering in matches, and him and his boys, the Bollywood boys. Now, this pay-per-view started off another SmackDown match. And now it was a total SmackDown match. Because Chris Jericho surprisingly won the United States Championship.
Can you believe that?
I was not expecting the title change there, because we know Jericho is going to be going on tour this month, as a matter of fact, with Ozzy.
Yeah.
So we don't expect him to be around much longer. So I would expect him to drop the U.S. Championship quickly, like either this week or next week, probably on SmackDown. We'll see what happens there. You know, because of the Superstar Shakeup, there was that swapping of the secondary championship belts. The Intercontinental title moved to Raw, which is not defended on this pay-per-view, mind you, and the U.S. title moved to SmackDown. And as a result of the U.S. title being under the SmackDown banner, if Jericho won, and he did, he would have to move over with the belt to SmackDown. And that apparently is what's going to happen. Kevin Owens, of course, was already swapped in the Superstar Shakeup a couple of weeks ago, so he is also on the SmackDown brand. So they're going to have to do a title change in a couple of weeks, or this week. It's not going to be a long title reign. So Jericho wins the title by submission, of all things. The Walls of Jericho.
Best
good
move.
Yes. Then Neville retained the Cruiserweight Championship. DQ there. Austin Aries still chasing. Came pretty close, but still chasing. Hardy Boys retain the Raw Tag Team Championship over Cesaro and Sheamus. And then Cesaro and Sheamus turn heel.
Mm.
Now, you've got two guys, they love the Hardy Boys. You know, they got a crazy reaction at WrestleMania. One of the biggest pops,
yeah,
I think, in the history of professional wrestling. But Sheamus and Cesaro were very popular.
They are. And they're
very
good.
This is when you turn them heel, because they're popular. Not a guy that the fans hate like Roman Reigns. Why would you turn him heel?
Because that's the only way to get away with booing.
You turn two guys heel that the people like and keep a guy a face that the people hate. It makes perfect sense.
It is. It's perfectly logical. Don't you know that?
Oh, absolutely. So Roman Reigns, no matter how much they're trying to make you,
they're force feeding him
sympathy towards Roman Reigns, even though the people clearly can't stand him. I mean, they've been, you know, thanking Braun Strowman for destroying him and flipping over the ambulance with him inside. And Braun Strowman's supposed to be the heel, but he's coming over more as a babyface than fucking Roman Reigns.
I'm happy for him, but it is hilarious.
I think he's getting the reverse effect of what McMahon was hoping for.
Well, you know, though, we've seen that happen a lot of times, and a lot of times it is because either people don't like the person they're up against, or like they don't like someone so much that they just, anybody that's against them gets a bigger push.
Or like in Braun's case, they really have made him look good. I mean, with the ring imploding, mm-hmm. with him and Big Show and him pushing Kalisto off the ramp in the dumpster last week. Like, the things he's doing, I would imagine, are somewhat vile, but at the same time, it's impressive. Like, for him to show the superhuman, like, strength that he's been displaying. And I guess people like, he's like a freak. So the people are reacting to it. They like it. And then on top of that, he's beating the hell out of Roman Reigns, a man that they just literally cannot stand. And so I'm sure McMahon is probably like, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns is supposed to be the hero. you know.
No chance.
I thought it was so bad, like, I was looking at Raw and they had the Make-A-Wish PSA that they run.
Yeah.
And, you know, John Cena, you know, he's a big Make-A-Wish guy.
I think he's actually done the most Make-A-Wish in the whole company.
Right. So they showed him, of course, they showed Sasha Banks to get one of the female superstars on there. And then, of course, Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns was the main one talking throughout the whole PSA. And I am like, you know, this is like the most disingenuous shit that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, they are just trying to make it seem like he's the ultimate good guy. He is this. And I am like, come on now.
Yeah, I know.
This
it's
is
like,
such
why?
Fucking shit. I mean, I guess it's not quite as bad as them trying to force feed Lex Luger down your throat years ago as the American hero.
That's true. That was interesting.
And nobody believed that.
Mm-mm. No.
I remember going to a house show at the old Spectrum before they tore it down back in the day and seeing that raggedy-ass bus parked outside in front of the arena because the Lex Express.
Yep.
Because he was out there doing that stupid patriotic American tour, and I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing. Roman Reigns is all taped up from, I mean, he was in the back of an ambulance gate that got pushed over. So
yeah, I mean, that's a pretty dangerous thing. I no matter what anybody says, there's a lot that can go wrong with that.
If he was actually in the ambulance, I mean, we know
that's true.
A lot of trickery can take place. So I doubt if he was actually in it because the door was closed. You don't know who was at it. You know?
Yeah, trap door, get out the other side opposite the cameras.
Right, and then once it was flipped. And they could have cut it. Like, it probably wasn't in real. It was a backstage segment, so we don't know whether it was in real time or what. You know, it's like a movie. You can cut and then switch to the now
edit.
It's already flipped over, and now you got them pulling him out of the back and putting him on the gurney and whatnot. And you know, but still, he shouldn't be wrestling 3 weeks after being in an ambulance that was just flipped over. Regardless to how they pulled the style. It just wouldn't make sense. But I guess, you know, they got a pay-per-view.
He's Superman.
Right.
And he's injected with Wolverine's blood.
Is something here. And now Braun Strowman has just destroyed him. I think if they keep this push of Braun Strowman going, he would definitely be a good opponent for Brock Lesnar. If they push him as a monster, Lesnar's a monster, that can be some good shit. That could be like your SummerSlam main event. But I'm sure they would rather it be Roman Reigns versus Lesnar.
Oh, absolutely. Who are you kidding? But I'll tell you what, that would be a hell of a match.
It would, and the fans probably be behind Strong.
Oh, 100%.
You know, they're behind him now. So also the Raw Women's Championship took place. Bayley in her hometown was defeated by my girl, Alexa Bliss. Now, the brand new Raw Women's Champion, she becomes the first person in history to win the SmackDown Women's Championship and now the Raw Women's Championship. Probably because those belts didn't exist before. But still, it is quite a feat. That
first for everything.
Is the first person to win both the SmackDown... Well, she won two SmackDown Women's titles, and now she's the Raw Women's Champion. And Alexa would have to have been one of the individuals that this was probably a surprise that she's been as successful on the main roster. I mean, most people, when they were talking about the prospects coming up from NXT, all you heard was Bayley, Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, primarily. I don't think anybody said Alexa Bliss when she was down in NXT as far as who would be the breakout star or one of the breakout stars.
That's true. She was kind of written off, which isn't really right.
And, you know, she was one of the last people drafted when they did the initial draft. I think she was like number 40-something to be drafted. Like, she was literally like either next to last or three from last as far as being drafted. And she's turned out to have one of the more successful runs on either women's division out of all of them. Like, and she's over with the people. That's what's so crazy about it. And she's another one who is cast as a heel, but a lot of times is getting babyface reactions.
I mean, I'm happy for her, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always loved Alexa. Not quite as much as Emma, but she's my second favorite.
Oh, your second favorite. Excuse
there can
me.
Only be one Emma, but she's my 1A.
Okay. She's your 1.5.
Right.
Okay. Or your 0.5.
And now she's the Raw Women's Champion. Even though I would love to see my girl Emma finally get a bone here, let her win a championship or something. I mean, she's been there a long time, has never won any damn thing. And
they made her like such a jackass the last time, and it's like, why?
Right. And this whole so-called women's revolution started with her and Paige. But now, so Alexa Bliss now the brand new Raw Women's Champion, but also some controversy as there was some reports of some photos of Alexa Bliss that were supposedly hacked. She has claimed that these photographs are fake, and so far we've seen nothing of the contrary. Like I have not seen any pictures or anything that look real, in my opinion. So I don't know what all the fake ones. Like one of them I saw looked to be a very good job.
A very good shoop.
Right. But still, it doesn't look real. So, at the moment, we're going to have to give her the benefit of the doubt and say, they're not real. But you never know. There could be something. I mean, we had said that the person who hacked Paige did come out and make claims that they did have more, including Alexa Bliss. And, you know, then we didn't kind of hear anything, but now this weekend it did hit the news. And some major websites reported it, including, New York Times or one of them reported it.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one it was.
As well, I mean, it was a few sites. That were actually saying that there were some alleged leaked photos of Alexa Bliss, but so far nothing legitimate.
We'll see.
Right. It's a it's a story in progress.
It is.
The New York Post, which the New York Post is a glorified tabloid, really.
It is.
But They
but it's
did.
Still a big publication. That's the thing.
It is. It is. But they said that Alexa Bliss says that the recently leaked X-rated photos of her are actually fakes. And the doctored photos appear to show Bliss in a number of highly sexual situations. But from what I saw, I haven't seen everything, but from what I saw, it didn't look too real. You know, it wasn't like the paid stuff. You knew it was paid. You knew there was no doctor and there was nothing. That was authentic as it gets. But this stuff looked fake. And the fact that they were just stills and she's like so perfectly made up, it's like they just took her face and put it on somebody else's body. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So right now, I'm calling bullshit right now. I got your back, Alexa, now.
I mean, even if there are some of her out there, I don't think it hurts her at all. She's a cute girl, so.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not going to hurt her one bit. But it just shows you the, you know, the world that we're in now. You know, you got to be extra cautious. You know, as we had discussed a couple of weeks ago with the Paige thing broke, you really have to be cautious when it comes to
any of that.
Right. Anything that's on these phones, anything you put on social media.
Any pictures of any type of activity, doesn't matter what it is.
Exactly. Exactly. Because it can come back to bite you in the ass very easily. I mean, but some people don't mind. I mean, they love putting stuff like that out, and more power to you.
Yeah. You go.
Yeah. On there, Roman Reigns, big fan. She looked like she was probably about 5 years old. She was a big Roman Reigns fan.
Well, they don't know any better.
Right, adults probably can't stand it. I wonder if my my nephew, who thinks he's a wrestler, I wonder if he likes Roman Reigns. I've got to ask him.
Yeah, you're going to have to do, we should do an interview with him one day.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Because I was talking to him the other day and about the, he likes AJ Styles now.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Yeah, and he loves Booker T. I don't think he realizes Booker T doesn't wrestle anymore, but he loves Booker T.
Hey, Booker T's good too. I mean, you can't fault the kid.
And it was so funny that he always pretends that he's fighting like his stuffed animal, and it's the craziest thing. Now guess what he named his stuffed animal?
What?
Nikki Bella.
Aww.
So he wanted to fight his stuffed animal, Nikki Bella.
Aye,
which he fights all the time. And he was supposed to be AJ Styles.
Okay.
But then, and the his it's a rabbit. It's a stuffed rabbit. That's Nikki
okay.
Bella. And then it was funny because my sister introduced him as Booker T. Thought he was Booker T. And he got mad. And was like, I'm not Booker T. I'm AJ Styles. he actually got upset, like really upset, because she thought, because he was Booker T a few minutes ago. And now he changed to AJ Styles. But he didn't tell you he changed. And then when she introduced him as the wrong person, he was all upset. It was pretty funny.
That is adorable. Now you just got to get him into the wrestling schools early.
I know.
Start him now.
I know. It's the way he acts. Oh, and Braun Strowman won. And he won clean.
Okay.
That's a shot. And look at the reaction of the crowd. The crowd's standing up cheering him.
Hmm.
I wonder how are they going to hide that on TV. Like, do a tight shot of his face and try not to show the crowd and that the crowd is applauding?
Probably. That's what the Zoom feature's for.
So, no surprise there, but I'm sure it's a surprise to McMahon that he's getting face-like reaction. It's only a surprise to McMahon, because everybody else realizes that nobody likes this fucking man.
Yeah.
It's like everybody else realizes it, but Vinnie Mac himself. He's the only one, you know, who thinks Roman Reigns is beloved by the fans.
You know, sometimes your vision gets a little cloudy as you get up in years.
Yeah. Yeah, or it's just he insists we're going to do
what he wants.
What he says, right.
Yeah. That's probably what it is.
Right. His ego.
He knows better.
Right. Right. I turned a regional company into a billion-dollar entertainment empire, which he did.
Yes, he did.
And I don't think, you know, anybody can dispute that. He's certainly the most successful wrestling promoter in the history. I mean, nobody else has ever had that level of success. But the same token, this guy just doesn't have it. Clearly. I mean, the people fucking hate him. And it's about time that they finally, or McMahon finally accepts it and just says, all right.
We need to push someone else.
Exactly. Like maybe Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman might be the guy.
Yeah, yeah, that's true too. And he's one of McMahon's favorite styles, really, like, big, gigantic, like, larger than life. We all know that's what he likes.
Right. Right, the monster among men. And who knows, sell his shirt and shit, he can be the fucking, like, it's always unexpected, like the guy that gets over and becomes the big, huge star.
Yeah, it can be. Sometimes you see it, but then other times it's like, holy crap. All of a sudden
right.
It just bubbles up.
I mean, look at the Austin thing. There is so many things that happened that just allowed Austin to become the biggest star of all time. Like, just look at how close we were to things being different. Like, everything kind of just fell into place. It was almost like the stars aligned and this was supposed to happen. Because there was a bunch of shit, if you go back and really look at, you know, what was supposed to happen versus what ended up happening, and you're like, well, wow. If this would have went the way they originally planned, this wouldn't have happened, and maybe, he wouldn't have took off. Like, everything just sort of fell into place. It was just one of those things. I mean, even going back to the King of the Ring, 96, Triple H was supposed to win the King of the Ring 96.
Yes, he was.
And because they did the curtain call in Madison Square Garden and broke kayfabe at a time when that was not a thing, and the click showed that they were really friends, even though they were supposed to be enemies, and did it in front of the crowd, you know, when Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were leaving to WCW, and Triple H and Shawn Michaels all broke character and, you know,
we're giving him hugs and everything, yeah.
And that, you know,
infuriated.
Yeah, it was a bad thing to do, especially back then. And Hall and Nash had nothing to worry about. They were leaving the company. And Shawn had nothing to worry about because he was the champion at the time, and McMahon was so desperate, he had to put up with Shawn's shit. So the person who got the punishment and put in the doghouse was Triple H. He got all of it. He was scheduled to win the King of the Ring. he wound up not winning. Because
yep.
They said, fuck you, because you screwed it over. And who was the backup? Steve Austin. And because Steve Austin won the King of the Ring, we got the promo. Austin 316 says, I just whipped your ass. That would have never happened if Triple H didn't get in trouble. It just kind of fell into place.
It did.
I mean, the Montreal.
It's crazy. Oh, man.
If that didn't happen, and the McMahon character didn't start being looked at as an actual heel like that, would Austin have had a villain to fight? Like, his arch rival wound up being McMahon. You know, all
but that was perfect for the time, though, because think about it. There was that overwhelming sense of, like, you versus the man versus the corporate power type thing, and that's what McMahon was.
Right. But that got established when the Montreal Screwjob happened.
Yes.
And if that didn't happen, would the Mr. McMahon character ever have come into being like he was? Like, there were so many things, you know, like I said, it just kind of happened that organically helped turn Austin into the biggest superstar of all time.
Yeah.
And you don't have that in the case of Roman Reigns. You've got a guy who the fans can't stand, and they're not really
digging
does
it.
Does he know the fucking camera's still on?
Yeah.
I guess now they must have told him the damn camera's still on now.
Why?
Because when he went backstage, they were kind of holding, he was kind of stooped over, acting like he was in pain. And then when he got behind the curtain, he started walking up straight and fine for a second. And then they just whispered something to him, and now he's keeling over in, quote, pain again.
Flub.
I am like, they probably didn't even tell him that they were still filming him and shit. But
well, they got to fill the three more minutes in. Or
well,
no,
the,
13 more minutes.
The pay-per-view is actually over. This is the Raw talk after the post-show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the network. But like if you ordered it on traditional pay-per-view, it actually
it's over. Yeah.
But and you know whenever they replay this, they're going to cut that part out.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the magic of the edit, right?
Mm-hmm. It's amazing what you can do with it.
They used to love what SmackDown was taped because they used to be able to pipe it, cheers for Roman Reigns, and do all kinds of trickery. But now that everything's live, it makes it a little more difficult.
And
now he's all keeled over, can barely walk he's going into another ambulance. I'd be leery of ambulances.
Braun Strowman shows up and flips it.
Yeah. 5 seconds ago, he was walking fine.
He's miraculous.
Oh, and now, okay, he just knocked the damn door off the ambulance this time. So they're still fighting. This is crazy. I guess Extreme Rules, I guess they're going to have an ambulance match.
I guess so.
That's probably what this is setting up. That's the next Raw brand pay-per-view, Extreme Rules. And that'll be their June show. And then July, of course, Great Balls of Fire.
I can't believe it.
I wonder, do you think of the Jerry Lee Lewis song, Great Balls of Fire, do you think of somebody with, like, a venereal disease?
You know, I think of the Jerry Lee Lewis song only because you and I still grew up with that song, but people
right.
younger than us, even in their, like, I'd say mid-20s, maybe even late-20s, they're not necessarily familiar with that song, and they may not think of that.
You don't think they would? I mean, I think that's one of those things that
I don't think as many people know about that song as you think.
You know, you're probably right, because a lot of these kids nowadays, they're not too
keen on the old stuff.
Their pop culture, like, you know, historical pop culture.
Yeah, they know the stuff that's here and now, and that's it. That is
right.
All they encompass. What happened last week, not what happened 60 years ago, to make like this saying, or, you know, where you got this from back 75 years ago. Like, you know, they just don't know it.
And that's crazy, because, I mean, a lot of that's, I mean, obviously that song came out before either of us were born. But
oh, yeah.
Like something that was known, like it was a popular song that everybody knew.
But you also have to remember a lot of those people that grew up with that were still alive when we were kids. That was still frequently heard music.
True.
Like, you had people from the 50s, the 40s, the 50s alive and listening to music and going out. Now, if they're not dead, they're in their 90s. 80s, 90s, it's like, and you know, they're not as mobile. They're not going out and listening to music and stuff like that. Like, you know.
Some of them may still be rocking out to their damn...
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying that they're not, but they're not as active out in the public where you would actively hear that music because there's a market for it, either on the radio or something like that.
True. Even though I think they do have... I think Sirius XM has a 50s channel. Yeah, they do. They've got a 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
I mean, it would be stupid for them to not cover all the different types of music, because there are people in this day and age that do like that music. Like, so I think some of that music's good. I wouldn't necessarily listen to a station, but there are people that still do, but they're just not in the majority.
Oh, I love the 80s channel.
I love the 80s too. But that's our generation.
Yeah, they actually do have a 50s channel. I'm looking at the app now. So it's a 56. They used to have a 40s channel, but now it's...
Ah, yeah. So the people in the 40s are buying goodbye.
it's Pitbull's globalization channel now.
Oh, okay.
It used to be the 40s. But I guess Pitbull has his own channel now.
Oh, okay.
Which I never listened to. But there's a 50 channel, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and a 2K channel now.
Oh, excuse me.
And that covers from 2000 to 2010, I would imagine. Or 09, I guess.
Yeah, probably 09.
Yeah, because 10 would be the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
10 to 19, I guess. So, which we're still in, so there is no channel yet for that.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's over, I think that's when they make the channel.
I believe so, yeah. But that just goes to show you, they did have a 40s channel. Now it's not there. Why? Because there's not a lot of them around anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I'm wondering if it still exists, because they have extra channels that are like...
hidden?
Well, just online. Like, they're not on the radio.
Ah, gotcha.
So there is a possibility that it can exist as a online
channel. Streaming, yeah.
Yeah. As we're doing a commercial for SiriusXM, which we're not on, mind you.
No, we should be, but they won't sign the contract. They don't want to pay us. We're just too good.
So yeah. That pay-per-view coming up in July will feature the first championship defense of Brock Lesnar, and I would imagine Brock Lesnar is going to be defending against probably one of the two gentlemen we just saw, either Braun Strowman or Roman Reigns. I can't really see them pushing somebody else to face Lesnar within the next month and a half or so.
I can't either.
So,
I'm hoping it's Braun. I really am.
you and probably everybody else in the quote unquote WWE universe. Got my girl on here now, Alexa Bliss. She just did like a drop the mic sort of thing.
Nice.
Go, sweetie. She is just so hot.
Mm.
And now another note, we know streaming services are popping up all over the place, so it's getting crazy now. There's like a million and one streaming services, but one that I thought is cool is Boomerang. Boomerang, of course, the sister network of Cartoon Network.
Oh, yes. I remember. I remember when it was a channel.
It still is.
When it had first come out, like I remember seeing the commercials for it on Cartoon Network because I used to watch, what was it, the Midnight something that they had like all like the adult cartoons on, because they launched Boomerang while we were in high school, and I'm talking like junior, senior year of high school was when Boomerang launched.
And right, when Boomerang started off, it was originally a a block of programming on Cartoon Network.
Yes, it was. It was like a Friday night or something like that.
Right, and it basically it was a time to play the the older cartoons and all the good
Hanna-Barbera.
Right.
All those classic ones, the classic Looney Tunes.
So now they announced a couple of months ago that they were going to launch a streaming service, Boomerang, and in conjunction with the TV channel is not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But this is another thing, especially like. In my case, I've never had Boomerang. It's never been available in my area.
Never been available in my area either.
So I've never been able to actually get the linear channel. So it's kind of cool to have this option to get the streaming service. So the streaming service has launched. It did launch a couple of weeks ago. You have the monthly plan, which is the $4.99 plan, which in my opinion, might be a little bit high for that. Or the yearly option, which is a little better. It comes up to $39.99 a year, which is basically about $3.33 a month, which actually I think is a lot more better. Like, even though you got to pay the $40 up front, to me, it's a better deal because $3, I think it's reasonable for that, you know? I think $5 might be a little hot.
I'd say $1.99.
Right, but I'll take $3.
Yeah,
not
that's fine. Yeah.
So it has launched. I'm trying it out. So far, I mean, they promised well over 1,000 episodes and shows or whatever. I don't think they're at that yet. I mean, they're still early on. It's only launched weeks. But, some decent stuff so far. There's going to be more to come. The only real negative, I would say, right now is you can only view it on either a mobile device or a computer.
Mm.
Right now, it is available on Android and iOS, as well as, through your web browser on your computer or devices like that, but you can't watch it on TV yet. That's the problem.
Gotcha.
So I'm wondering how many people are they going to be able to nab without being able to watch it on television. Like there's no, when you play the videos, you can't cast it to your TV. There's no app yet for any of the game consoles, which is always like a no-brainer to make an app for the game consoles because you got a big audience right there, with a huge install base that, they would watch that kind of shit, and it would make sense to make an app for the game consoles, but nothing yet. No app for Apple TV, no app for Roku, no app for any of the smart TVs or Blu-ray players out there, so Right,
or you
now,
can just be like me and have a tower hooked up to your TV.
You can do that. That would be the only way you can watch it on TV right now. You'd actually have to connect your computer to your television. Otherwise, you will be SOL. They have promised a app for the Roku and Apple TV, and I think the Chromecast soon. So whatever the hell soon means.
I mean, it's stupid if they don't get it out fairly soon, because that is where everything's going.
Right. What do you think? I mean, you said $1.99. Do you think that the price point's a bit too high for this content? It's basically old cartoons.
Yeah, I do. I think $1.99. If it was $1.99, I'd actually consider getting it myself. But anything over that, I mean, I have the majority of those on either videotape or DVD, some iteration of them that I want to see. So I don't need that service.
Got Adamant.
Okay, but I wasn't a fan of Adamant.
Richie Rich.
Richie Rich was okay.
The Wacky Races is on here. Magilla Gorilla.
Oh, Jesus, Magilla Gorilla. I liked Rocky and Bullwinkle.
They are not on here. But they have movies on here as well. So a lot of Scooby-Doo movies. Couple of Tom
I
and
hate
Jerry.
Scooby-Doo.
I love Scooby, so
I despise Scooby-Doo. Like
I hate
I'm
Tom
weird.
And Jerry.
I don't like Tom and Jerry either. Like, I'm very odd with the cartoons that I like that are classic cartoons. Like, I like The City of Gold. That was a good series. Like, there's certain ones that I like, but your big ones like Tom and Jerry, Woody Woodpecker, Felix the Cat. Like, I'm not into any of those.
What about Bugs? Everybody loves Bugs.
Bugs?
Bugs Bunny.
Oh, no.
You didn't like him either?
No.
None of the Looney Tunes? Daffy Duck, Porky, none of them?
What's that crazy red hairy creature's face name? Precious?
You're talking the thing that's like all...
Hair. Red hair, yeah. That's like my favorite thing out of the whole Looney Tunes universe is that giant crazy monster.
I forget what the hell his name is.
I want to say his name is Precious.
I don't think it's Precious. It's something...
It's something really like... What in God's green earth? Oh, what is it?
I can't think of what it is. You didn't even like Pepe Le Pew?
Actually, yes, I did like Pepe Le Pew. He was pretty entertaining in, like, that creepy old man way.
He was like a ladies' man all the way, even though he would always fall in love with a cat and think she was a skunk.
He laid it on thick.
Yeah.
Very thick.
And but I think Looney Tunes, some of those shorts are hysterical. Go back and watch a lot of them.
Don't get me wrong. A lot of the classic Looney Tunes, for what they are very, very good. Like the opera episodes, very good. All those episodes that are indicative of the time that they were made, like the World War II episodes or stylized episodes, those are all really good and really good to watch because that's a part of the past. That is classic. That's, you know, Captain America came out at that time. That, you know, that was... the start of a lot of things as far as cartoons.
What about Popeye? Were you a Popeye person or no?
Not really, no.
I assume you don't like spinach either.
I actually love spinach. I
love
vegetables. Yeah. And like I used to joke and say I'd be strong like Popeye if I ate my spinach because I did watch it. Like I even... as a little kid, liked the Jetsons, but like by the time I was probably 8 or 9, I hated the Jetsons. I ended up not liking the Flintstones. Like to this day, I won't watch any of that stuff.
What? You hated the Flintstones?
Yeah, after a certain age, it was like, this is not for me at all.
Oh, wow. No.
Like, I have a very, very odd taste.
And so you totally hated the Scooby-Doo stuff, like, from scratch?
The only Scooby-Doo series that I ever liked, and it's only because, really, of Vincent Price, was Scooby-Doo and the 13 Ghosts. I was a huge Vincent Price fan because I've always liked horror and things like that. So, like, it was like, oh, my God, they have Vincent Price. So, of course, I watched that series. And that wasn't that bad. But I couldn't get into the other stuff. It was just too, I guess, dated for me. I knew it was like 60s, 70s. You know, it just wasn't my speed. I wasn't into that.
And have you given any of the new stuff a try, like Be Cool Scooby-Doo, which is the newest
I'm just not into it.
That one, I think, is really good. Be Cool, because it's a lot lighter than some of the other ones, and some of it is clearly them making fun of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one's one of the most cleverly written Scooby-Doos that they've ever done. And the one before it, Mystery Inc., was more serious and more darker than any of the other ones ever. And I like that version too. But they have done a couple versions over the years that I really didn't like. But the last two versions of Scooby-Doo, I've really enjoyed a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. I have this, like, bad taste with Scooby-Doo.
And the one you like, the Scooby-Doo and the 13 Ghosts, I actually had just purchased that not too long ago, like on Google Play. Like, I bought the whole series. I think they had it on sale or something. So I've watched half of it, though. I got to go back and watch the rest of it. I remember when it was on TV, though, but I probably haven't seen those episodes since I was a kid back in the day when they first came out.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I watched it when it was first on, too, like, because I remember seeing the commercials for it, and they had Vincent Price announcing the commercials, and I was like, oh, shit, I need to see this.
Right. It was some good stuff, though. But ultimately, so Boomerang is out. I don't know who's going to be on board with it and how this thing is going to fly, because, you know, when it comes to streaming services, because that's such a niche thing, you know, with these classic cartoons that they're offering, you can kind of get that from some of the other more, you know, mainstream, all-you-can-eat sort of services like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. They have classic cartoons on them.
So it's, yes, like, they do.
Why pay specifically for a service that's going to only give you that when you can pay Netflix and get the classic cartoon plus a bunch other stuff?
That's why I'm saying, like, if it was maybe like $1.99 a month, $12 for the year, like, people would be all over it. All over it. That right. it would be a one of those things where if you like some of the classic cartoons that show, it'd be stupid for you not to do it.
Right. But the only thing is, if you did order it in a case like that, where from their standpoint, from the business standpoint, I think it would still be a profit for them, because this is old content. It doesn't really cost them. The only thing they're really paying for, I would imagine,
the license.
Is the servers.
Well, the servers, well, yeah, that's true. So, I mean, they're just paying for servers.
Right. So,
and
so,
if they have a parent company that already offers streaming services, then they're really not paying much for those servers.
Well, it's Time Warner.
They ain't paying nothing for those servers. It's completely free. Who you kidding?
So, pretty much anything that they
charge 100% profit.
Would be profit, right.
Yes.
Or pretty close to it.
Exactly. So
yeah,
no need to be greedy. $1.99, $12 for the year is perfect.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue with that. But that's the prices they've come out with, $4.99, $39.99. So we'll see how many people bite. And if they don't try some other things to try and encourage subscribers to jump on board. But, I mean, I think it's going to be kind of a hard sell because it's a niche thing. It's not like it's and when you look at all of the cartoons and shit, like I'm looking at Netflix now and all of the cartoons that are on here, like, why the fuck would you pay them?
Well, I mean, it's like I have Crunchyroll.
Right.
And
well, that's more anime.
Yeah, but Netflix and Hulu and things like that do have animes on them.
Not as deep as Crunchyroll, though.
No, I know, but they still
do. I think Hulu
do...
might have a better collection than what Netflix has, but...
I think it does, too. But still, I mean, the option is there. They do have it as an option on those, too, but I just happen to want the whole package. So, I mean, I guess people could apply the same logic to the Boomerang app. It's like... Yeah, they have it on there, but you could get all of it in one place and more type thing. But still, it's just changed the price point.
But that's going to be the whole thing. Is it worth spending the additional
$4 a month? Yeah.
$3 to $5 a month, depending on which plan you go with. Now, of course, you do have your free trial, your month free. If you do the yearly option, and then you have the week free if you do the monthly option. So you can test it out, see what you think. So that is it for us this week. We want to thank everybody for listening. Remember, log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/TonyLaneShow, and subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play. So we will see what the fallout is, WWE Payback, see what happens on SmackDown. I wonder, is Randy Orton going to get his belt back?
Hmm.
You know, he is still the champion. He just, you know.
That's true.
The Indian gentleman stole his belt.
Yep.
So.
We'll see.
Yes. SmackDown Raw later on this week. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Think Out Loud, the Tony Lane Show.
What kind of world are we living in that this is considered entertainment?
TonyLaneShow.com.